Book of Luke, chapter number 5, verse number 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said unto him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" And he said unto them, "Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." And he spake also a parable unto them, "No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better." That is the reading of the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 through 39, if correctly read this morning. I feel like God would have us think on this thought: out with the old and in with the new. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And then we read in Revelation chapter 21 that the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And that John said, "I beheld," he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." You know, even for God, it's out with the old and in with the new. In fact, in Revelation 21:5, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." I like that, don't you, this morning? So I see, first of all, in the book of Luke chapter 5, in verse 27 and 28, I see a new disciple. Now, he's a man by the name of Levi. We know him as Matthew. He's a tax collector. He is sitting at the receipt of custom. He is practicing fraud. He is cheating and swindling his fellow man. He is a rebel rouser to his own nation. His own people, they hated him. He had a very lucrative business. You might say that Matthew was a disciple of the devil. He followed sin and worldly practices every step of the way. But he met a man named Jesus. And when Jesus came by, Jesus simply looked at that man practicing sin, living in sin, and Jesus spoke to him and said, "Follow me." Amen. Out with the old, in with the new. The Bible says that Matthew simply left all, rose up, and he followed Jesus. He used to be a disciple of the devil. Now he's going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. A lot like you and I. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. You and I, if we've been saved, we used to be disciples for the devil. We used to run around holding hands with the world. But when Jesus saved us, it was out with the old and in with the new. And now you and I have been made followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, I like that truth, don't you? And in fact, when I study about the disciples, Matthew walked away from more than any other disciple had to walk away from. Some of them walked away from a fishing career, and some of them walked away from some nets, amen? But Matthew walked away from plenty. And all the things that Matthew counted as gain, he now counts as lost for the very presence of knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as his personal Savior. I want to say for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. For us, it's out with the old and in with the new. I want us to look, second of all, not only is there a new disciple, but secondly, there is a new direction. Matthew used to follow the beat of his own drum. He used to go the way of the world. He used to hold hands with the Roman government. It was so easy for him to swindle and cheat his fellow man. But now he's decided, when he meets a man named Jesus, he said, I'm going to leave all the world behind, and I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to follow this man, Jesus Christ. You see, for Matthew, he's got a new direction. You remember when you met Jesus, you were going the wrong way. But when you met Jesus, he turned you to go the right way. I want to say praise God. It was out with the old and in with the new. I've got a new direction now. I used to walk by sight, but I've learned to walk by faith through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only is there a new direction, but I think about a new destiny. You know, Matthew was a child of hell. He was on his way. He had went through the wide gate, and he was on that straight way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But while he was on that road to hell, he met a man named Jesus, and he left everything else behind, and he went through that straight gate and that narrow way, amen, which leads to life and life everlasting. And now Matthew has a new destiny. He's on his way to glory. I want to say thank God for you and I meeting Jesus, or him finding us where we were, because when he found us, amen, it was out with the old and in with the new. We became new disciples. We got a new direction. And now, praise God, this morning, there's a new destiny for every single one of us. This world is not my home. I'm simply passing through. Glory to God. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm not a fugitive running from God. I'm not a vagabond broke down. I'm simply a pilgrim and a stranger on my way to a better land. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. I'm on my way. So it's out with the old and in with the new. Then fourthly this morning, I see a new devotion for Matthew. Things have changed in his life now with this new destiny and this new direction. Look with me in verse 29. The Bible says Levi made him a great feast in his own house. Who do you think him is? Do you think Matthew, Levi, do you think he made this feast for himself? Oh no. You see, he's got a new direction now. He's met a man named Jesus. And when you really get your life changed, and it's out with the old and in with the new, your focus is on one thing, him, Jesus Christ. And Matthew said, I want to make him the focus of my life. I want to make him the center of my life. I'm going to take everything that I have, and I'm going to throw a great feast for the honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I tell you what I'm going to do. He said it's going to be out with the old and in with the new. I'm going to invite all my friends. The Bible said that publicans, a great company of publicans. And the scripture in Luke says, and others. But in Matthew's gospel, it says sinners. Matthew knew who they were. His friends were sinners. He run with them for a long time. And he says, I want to tell you about somebody who made all things new in my life. I've never felt so good. I've never had such hope. I've never had such vision. I want you to meet this man named Jesus. And if you'll come to my house, I'm having a dinner in his honor. Hallelujah. And if you'll come, I'll let you eat there for free and meet my good friend by the name of Jesus Christ. You see, he's got a new devotion. He's concerned now about winning others to Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Amen. When you and I got saved, amen, he called us into the fishing business, and we go fishing for men. And every time I see one person get saved, I can't wait to see two people get saved. And if 13 get saved, I want to see 14 get saved. There's a new devotion in my life. My center, my focus, everything has become now about Jesus. And when the life and your family and your individual self is focused upon Jesus, look what happens in verse 14, verse number 30. The scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples. They weren't murmuring against Jesus. They were murmuring against his disciples. Matthew's one of them. The scribes and the Pharisees began to murmur. And they began to shoot down the hope and the devotion and the thrill and the joy
that is in serving Jesus. This whole world will do everything it can to bring you down, to try to cause your life to be in a shipwreck. No joy, they don't want no hope. They don't want you to have any peace. But Matthew still, he listens to what they say. They said, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? If you're really saved, why are you fellowshipping with this old wicked bunch?" No doubt the biggest drunkard in town was there, and no doubt the biggest drug dealer in town was there, and no doubt there were harlots there, and it wasn't a good company to be known in. But Jesus was there, and the disciples were there, and they were worried about winning them all to Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees began to murmur, and they began to complain. Now listen, the Scripture says, Jesus answering said unto them, boy, I'm glad it's been out with the old and in with the new, because when people murmur against me, I don't have to answer. Jesus does. I like that, don't you? Jesus steps up and he says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Amen. The sick, the sinners are in need of a Savior. The sick are in need of a physician. This crowd that's living this worldly lifestyle, publicans and sinners, they're in need of a Savior. And Jesus is right on time. Amen. It's out with the old and in with the new. Matthew used to promote this sin. He used to promote these festivities and these parties. But now there's a new focus. There's a new speaker. There's a new message coming out of Matthew's house. It is Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I wonder when your neighbors hear your radio, when your neighbors are looking towards your house, what do they hear? What is the message that is proclaimed from your house this morning? So Jesus responds and says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I say praise God this morning that Matthew said, it's out with the old and in with the new. I have a new devotion. My focus is about Jesus Christ. I want to go a little further with this in verse 33. And I want you to see it's out with the old and in with the new, a new delight. The Bible says, they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? Now Matthew tells us that this complaint that was at once first against the disciples, and Jesus responds to it, they've turned their complaining now against God, against Jesus Christ. And they begin to make a comparative complaint. And they said the disciples of John the Baptist, and according to Matthew's gospel, the disciples of John the Baptist are the very ones complaining. And the disciples of the Pharisees, they get together there and they said, we're fasting. Boy, that's something that we ought to be doing. And we're praying. And we're doing all we can to pray for the coming of the Messiah. We're fasting for the Messiah come. They fasted twice a week, on Monday and on Thursday. And they said, and Jesus, when we look at your disciples are eating and drinking. It's almost like they're fellowshipping and they're celebrating and they're rejoicing. Oh, that's a new delight, isn't it? I used to be with that weeping crowd, amen, that run around living for sin, thinking we're having a good time. And I'm telling you what, that run out every single time. I didn't really have anything solid, nothing to hang on to that would really last. But I want to say, since I've become a child of God and get to know about the joy of serving Jesus, boy, I've got a new thrill. I've got a new excitement. I've got new joy that I've never had before. Happiness, according to this world, will run out. Circumstances will run out on you. But Jesus will never, never run out on us. I say hallelujah for that this morning. They even noticed your disciples have joy and we are fasting and we are praying. You see, they're mourning. They're weeping. And they're pretending to be religious. They're a bunch of dead rituals and dead religion. But when we look at the disciples of Jesus, y'all are just eating and drinking and having a big time and rejoicing. While we don't understand that, I'll tell you what, it's been out with the old and in with the new. I've got a new joy now. I've got a new delight. And my delight is in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen what Jesus says. He said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? You see, Jesus is the bridegroom, and his disciples are the bride. They recognize, you understand, they recognize that the bridegroom is present. Jesus says of this dead religion and these dead rituals and ceremonies, he said, you know, compare it to a Jewish wedding. There are 7 days of feasting. He said when there's 7 days of feasting and the marriage has come, there's a time of joy. Do you think that the wedding party is going to sit down and begin to pray and mourn over sin and fast when the wedding is taking place and the bridegroom is present? Well, of course not. You see, you and I have a new delight because Jesus is our bridegroom. And he is present with us this morning. Look what else Jesus said. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. He said a time for mourning and a time for fasting is when the bridegroom is not present with you. But when the bridegroom is present, it's a time of rejoicing. I remember what's her name? Irma Bombeck. She said she went to church and she saw a lady look back at her child. The child was sitting one row behind her with her friends. And her child was smiling, grinning great big. And she said, wipe that smile off your face. Quit that silly grinning. You're in church. And hauled off and hit the child. And then it was crying and weeping. And she said, that's better. That's the way a lot of our churches are, amen. We don't have any joy. Let me tell you something. If we've got Jesus, we've got something to shout about. We have a new delight. His name is Jesus. They went to a wedding there, and the bridegroom came out and waiting on the bride to come in, and she was all dressed in white. And one little girl said to her grandma, she had never been to a wedding before, she said, Grandma, why is the bride wearing white? And she said, honey, I'll tell you why. This is the most joyous day of her entire life, and she's trying to express that to everyone. And the little girl sat there for a second and said, well, why is the groom wearing black? You'll get that after a while. You see, when we come into church, it's not a time for us to be in a position that we don't want to fellowship with anybody or to be out of unity or to come in with the mully grubs like your dog run away and you cat got mad and run off to the neighbor's house and you kicked a cat all the way to church in the ice and in the snow and boy, it's just bah humbug for you and the Grinch just stole your Christmas and I mean, things just couldn't get any worse. Hey, when Jesus is present in our life, we have a new delight and it'll show up on us, amen, when we come in the house of God. I mean, our choir ought to sing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. We ought to live our lives out in this old present world. Yes, I know there's obstacles, there's hardships, difficulties that we face at work. But when the world looks at you and sees the new delight of Jesus on you, and hand the world you're smiling and you're grinning and you're saying, well, hallelujah, in the middle of your hardships, the world will take notice that there's something different about you. It's been out with the old and in with the new. Jesus is our new delight. Let's go one step further with this. We want to look sixthly at a new disclosure in verse 36. He spake also a parable unto them. A new disclosure. Now the Lord is going to be talking to Matthew and to the disciples and others that are there. You understand that the world doesn't understand the things of God. I have some verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Preacher, what are you trying to say? I understand the newspaper. I can get a hold of a Newsweek magazine. I understand that because that's my old sinful nature. But before I got saved, I'd read the Bible. I had so many questions. I didn't understand very much of it, if any. But I found out later on that that book we've got, that Bible, it's God's holy book. It's a spiritual book. And the only way to understand it is if the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And the only way the Holy Spirit reveals it to you is because He's present. You understand that the natural man understands natural things, but when we got to the point where we said, out with the old and in with the new, and the Holy Ghost moved in, we began to understand some wonderful precepts and truths of the Word of God. Did we not? For Matthew, when Jesus gets ready to go in this time of parable, I'm sure Matthew said he's going to tell one of them parables. I never understood them. But as he listens to talk about this one about an old garment that's been torn, and someone brings in a new patch of cloth, and they're going to sew it into the garment. And the Lord said, you cannot put a new patch, which is strong, into an old garment, because it'll tear that old garment even further. Matthew says, Lord, I can't believe it, but I understand that. I mean, do you know why he understands it? Because he's got a new disclosure. It's out with the old natural man and in with the new spiritual man. And he begins to understand, I understand the Word of God. I understand His teaching. You cannot mix the old and the new. Are you with me? He goes on to mention about these wine bottles. He said in verse 37, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Just in simple layman's terms, those bottles were not glass bottles like we have now. They were animal skins. And when you put new wine into that new animal skin, it's been made into a bottle. As that new wine expands, that new bottle is got a lot of elastic in it, and it expands with it. But if you take that same new wine and put it into an old bottle that's now been empty, and you start trying to put it into that old bottle now has no more elasticity. It cannot expand anymore. Hey, when the new wine fills that old bottle goes boom. And the new wine runs out, and they're both spilled, and they're both perished on the ground. Hey, Jesus said, you can't mix the old and the new. It's out with the old and in with the new. He's got a new disclosure. He says, Lord, I begin to understand that. Preacher, what are you getting at? What are you driving at here? This wine represents joy. Joy is J-O-Y, Jesus on you. And when Jesus gets on you, honey, you'll have joy. He says, I'm not interested in putting my presence, my spirit, into an old wine bottle that's going to bust. You see, when I saved you, I made you a new creation. I made you a new disciple. I gave you a new direction. I gave you a new devotion. And the reason, a new delight, and the reason I did was that my joy shall be in you. My joy shall remain in you. And my joy shall be, your joy shall be full. He said, I'm not going to feel a dirty vessel. I'm going to feel a new creature. I'm going to feel, you getting that this morning, amen? He said, I'm not interested in just patching up an old garment. I'm going to make you a new garment. Amen. My old garments, listen, they were rags of sin. That's all I had. Why in the world would you want to put a new patch of righteousness on old rags of sin? He says, I'm going to get rid of your old rags of sin, and I'm going to give you new robes of righteousness. Amen. I'm not going to give you that new joy to go in that old spirit, that old flesh, that old nature. He said, I'm going to give you a new wine bottle. I'm going to give you a new nature. He took Jacob's name. He changed Jacob's name to Israel. He took Saul and changed Saul's name to Paul. He's interested in changing their nature, interested in changing their names, amen. He said, I want to fill you with my joy, and my joy will remain. It's not going to spill out. It's not going to perish. It's going to be in you, and it's going to be full. Boy, what's wrong with our churches is our people don't have the joy of Jesus anymore. And the problem is we've come in here with our old ways and we expect the preacher to fill up our old ways with joy. Well, the preacher was never in the filling business to start with. Jesus is the one that does it, honey. Jesus is the one. When he gets a hold of you and gets you to confess your sins and cleanses all that junk and gives you a new wine bottle, gives you a new garment, then you'll get good and filled. Amen. Are you getting that? Matthew said, that's weird because I understand it. For the first time, I've got a new disclosure. He's given me enlightenment. He's given me understanding. Bless his holy name. Last of all, and I'm done. He's given us new desires. Look in verse 39. No man, also having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new. For he saith, the old is better. Now, I'm not talking about the old past. No, I'm talking about. You drink that old wine, and he says that old wine is better. You see, what that is that old flesh that you and I have, when we hear, are you listening to me? When you hear that song on the radio that you used to listen to before you got right with God, as soon as it come on, you can name that tune in two beats. I know that song. And look at him, you looking at me? Where you get in the choir and can't remember the words of the song in our choir book and won't look up and smile at nobody because your head's down trying to stumble and find the words, you get old sinful song and you won't need one book. You won't read one note. You'll sing to the top of your lungs. And your flesh says, you see, the old is better. I don't like that new wine. I don't want to out with the old and in with the new. I like what I'm comfortable with. I like old shoes and I like old hats and I like garments that make me comfortable. I don't want new. You with me? You say the old is better. You remember when Jesus in John chapter 2 went down there to Cana where there was a wedding and they'd run out of wine? And Jesus said, there's 6 water pots, fill them with water. And they did. And he took them to the governor of the wedding feast and ladled him out some of that wine. And he said, you know, usually they save the good wine for last. But you've saved the best wine right now. You see, what Jesus gave them was new wine. And the new wine is better than the old wine. Ask the governor of the feast. Ask me this morning, I'll tell you something. My old sinful ways, oh yeah, we could go back to them every day of our life. And every day I have to crucify the old man and put on the new man because my flesh has old cravings. But I want to tell you something. The new has been so much better. The new has satisfied me so much more. The new has thrilled me when the old just says it's what I'm comfortable doing. I say, thank God for new desires this morning. Can I read to you? I know I've been long preaching, but can I read to you two places in the Scripture? I want to turn, first of all, to the book of Colossians. You'll find it Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I want to look in chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, preacher, I tell you, I still like the old. I was in the prayer room this morning. I got on my knee and it just came to my mind. You know, my old ways were the ways of death. But he set out with the old, then with the new, and he gave me life. The new way's better because it's life. My old ways were darkness. But when Jesus came, he gave me light. How many of y'all lost power in these last 2 or 3 storms? 4 people. Lord, we was without it 24 hours. We was in pitiful shape, sitting around in the dark. Family was complaining. I sat there that night in preparation for this sermon, and I thought, thank God I don't want the old ways. I don't want to sit in darkness anymore. I don't want to go back to having to go out there and turning on a little old lamp at nighttime about 5:30 and trying to figure out, let the school kids do their lessons in the dark. I don't like them old ways. I want the new. Are you with me? I want the new. I even said to my wife, I said, we did pay the power bill, didn't we? Amen. Hey, when Jesus come, he's gave us light. Hey, the old ways, here comes. I lived in fear. I was in fear. Fear of going to hell. Fear of what was going to happen to me. But when I met Jesus and was out with the old and in with the new, he took away fear and gave me peace. Are you with me? My old ways was fussing and fighting and all kinds of friction. Who needs that junk? When I met Jesus, it's been about forgiveness. And it's been about faith. Are you with me? Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You know that cuss word you said, son? That was the old man. Do you think God was pleased with that type of talk out of your mouth? Huh? I heard him tell about Charles Stanley. Said of his church, a man, a deacon in the church, got up and cussed in a business meeting at the pulpit. And Brother Stanley came up and said, we don't talk like that here. And the man reared back his fist like he's going to hit him. And he did. And everybody saw who was what, who was right, and who was wrong. The old man will always tell on you. You need to put off that filthy communication. You need to put off that wrath, amen. And the Bible says in verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor all, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. It'd be a whole lot better, sir, to let your old grudge go and just forgive it. Put off the old and bring in the new. In the book of Galatians, chapter number four, I want to turn to. I'll check my verse. The book of Galatians. Excuse me, Ephesians. I thought something looked weird. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. This is it right here, and I'll conclude. Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off the old and bring in the new. Y'all was just about ready to shout a minute ago. Your shouts just about run out when I said, we got to get rid of them old wordy dirds you used to say. Preacher, you didn't say dirty words, you said wordy dirds. Well, that's the way you talk too. You remember that old story about the minister that was on the train and he saw the young boy sitting there, and the young boy was quiet and reserved, and the preacher tried to talk to him, and finally the boy looked up and he said, mister, he said, I want you to know that I'm a convicted felon. I'm a criminal. I couldn't get along at home with my parents. They kicked me out I stole from them, I lied to him, I cheated them, and they kicked me out of the house. And now I've landed in the prison, and I just paid my time after 5 years, and I've just got out of jail. And I'm on my way home, and my parents haven't come to see me. They can't afford to. They're so poor. I've been so far away. And I've tried to write to them, but they've not written me back because my daddy's not educated. He can't even write. And probably somebody had to read this to him. And he said, mister, I told my mom and dad in the letter that I was on this train, and if mom and dad would be willing to forgive me, I met Jesus in the prison cell and he saved me. And I know people say it's jailhouse religion, but if my mom and dad would forgive me like Jesus did, to let me know if they'd put a white ribbon in the top of the old apple tree beside the railroad tracks before we get into town, I'll jump off the train. I know they've forgiven me. But if they can't forgive me, and I understand why they couldn't, then I'll just keep on going into town and I'll get off and try to go about my life. And he talked to the preacher a little while, and the preacher said, son, I'll be praying for you. He said, mister, we're getting close to the house. And he said, I can't bear to look. Will you look and see when you come to that old apple tree if there's a white ribbon on it? And the preacher said, I'll look. And they exchanged places, and the preacher went by the window and started looking, and The old boy bowed his head and just began to pray, "Oh God, please, please let me go home." And the preacher looked, he said, "Son," he said, "I see it." He said, "Mister, is there a white ribbon on it?" He said, "Yes, that tree has not got one ribbon on it, but it's full of ribbons. And there's an old gray-haired mom and dad standing underneath, and they're waving. You can almost read their lips saying, 'Come on home, son. Come on home, son.'" Boy said, "Mister, thank you so much." And he run and jumped off that train, and he got up and fell in his mom and dad's arms. Don't you glad that that old fella decided he's going to put off the old man and he's going to put on the new? I wonder if there might be somebody here, you'd stand to your feet this morning and you'd say, "Preacher Darren, there's some things I need to put off this morning." I may not have named them specifically, but the Holy Ghost has spoke to your heart. God's filled you with some new delights, and He's got some new desires and some new devotions for you this morning. And friend, this morning I just challenge you. Would you be willing to come up this old-fashioned altar and say, "I tell you what, I fight this old flesh, this old frame of flesh, I fight it every day. And this morning, Preacher Darren, I want to come to that altar and I want to put off the old man. And I want to put on the new man. I want to out with the old and in with the new."